Hey fans, welcome to this edition of Wrestling Now with the Legend. I'm your host, the Legend T. James Logan. Today, I have a young man, one half of a very successful tag team in the PWA. I'm talking today with Colton Kelly. Colton, first of all, welcome to the show.
What did you just say, sir?
I said welcome to the show, Colton.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Thanks? Is that what you're supposed to say?
I guess so. Why don't you let the fans know a little bit about what you've been doing for the last year in wrestling?
Oh, last year, holy cow. I broke an ankle, formed a tag team, lost a bunch of matches, kissed a dude.
Kissed a dude?
Yeah.
Well, what's that all about?
I got sexually harassed by one Mike McSugar of Team Flex Appeal. At PWA's anniversary show.
That's right. You know, in fact, I did have a chance to talk with those guys, and they have a very interesting take on you fellas. They say they're not quite finished with you two.
They say they're not finished. Is that like a reference to something sexual?
I'm not sure when it comes to those two. All I know is they called you your partner Beard Matthews, and then they started just chanting Colton over and over again. So.
Yeah, it's Colton or something.
Yeah, you know? And Beard. So.
I think they got a crush on me. It is what it is.
Now, what exactly happens to you when something like that happens? What goes through your mind? I mean, you're in a wrestling match, and all of a sudden some guy grabs you and kisses you.
I get kind of excited, and then I punch them.
Did it freak you right out? Did they throw you off their game?
You know, if anything, it steps me on my game a little more.
Because that really does seem to be Flex Appeal's plan of attack these days. A lot of throwing their opponents way off guard by their crazy behavior.
Yeah, you know, I think they're a very formidable team, and I think they got some interesting tactics. Like, as much as, you know, in the ring I hate them, like, I don't mind them as people. It's just, you know, I don't really respect them as competitors.
Now, you know, you've been with Reed Matthews now for a little while. You guys calling yourselves the Millennial Rebels. And you've joined up with Fury. What exactly is this team about? What are you guys... It seems you have some agenda.
See, I don't really say you can... Like, I don't really think you can say we joined up with Fury. Because if you know anything, he's who I started this whole thing with.
Okay. Well, he does... And, okay, sorry.
Yeah, no, we started this whole wrestling thing together, me and him, and if anything, Reed just came to the party, like, the Colton Kelly party, just like a millisecond earlier.
Well, who would you say, is there a leader in this group, or are you just, all brothers?
We're a collective.
Okay.
Some would say we're the top dog entertainment of wrestling, but I don't think you know what that is.
Now, you have been...
Do you know what that is?
The top dog of professional wrestling? Is that what you just said?
No, the top dog entertainment of professional wrestling.
And that is the Millennial Rebels?
Yeah.
How do you figure?
Well, you know, we got a little Kendrick Lamar with Fury.
Mm-hmm.
We got Schoolboy Q with nice little Reed Matthews. And then we definitely have the Absol with me.
Now, maybe I'm 100 years old, but it seems like you're talking another language to me right now. What does that mean?
We're talking rap music, my friend.
Oh, okay.
You do not know who Kendrick Lamar is?
I'm afraid I do not.
Well, you know, you better learn yourself some culture.
I guess so. I'll put my hat on backwards and see what I can figure out next show.
Hat on backwards? That's a little
you're right.
Stereotypical.
And get a basketball shirt and some sweats, and we'll be in there.
All right, sure.
Now, you know what? What is it you guys are trying to do, though? You talk about it, and there just seems that there's something you guys are up to, and what point are you trying to make?
There's a plan, my friend. Like, we, you know, we're young guys, but, really, millennials suck. And they lack social instincts. They lack, drive and, fundamentals of what being a good human is.
And you aspire to be a part of that?
No, we're the rebels of the millennials, my friend.
You know, I'm glad you explained that, because a lot of people were assuming that you guys were glorifying the fact that you were rebels and millennials.
We might be, but that's just a, you know, trick the unintelligent.
Wow. I am impressed. I am impressed.
There's a whole thought process to this. We didn't just pick a name.
Okay. Now, you know, let's take a quick look before we start talking other wrestling. Let's talk about some of the other teams in the PWA. What do you see them as threats, or do you see them as credible contenders? Do you see them as guys that you're going to go through? Let's start off with Flex Appeal. Start off with the group Flex Appeal. What do you think of these guys?
We just talked about Flex Appeal.
We did not get very thorough. We mentioned that maybe they had a few tactics, but I want to know what you think of the team Flex Appeal. Are they a team that are going to be a thorn in your side, or are they just something you're going to look in the rearview mirror at?
Oh, you know, I think us and that team is going to have a long history together.
Okay. Okay.
Michael Allen Richard Clark. He's a very capable individual.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike McSugar's like the creepy uncle that, you know, like hangs at the party too long.
I can see that vibe.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's switch gears. What do you say, like a team like Team Hall of Fame? Here's some older gentlemen who have been around for quite a while trying to reassert themselves back into the tag team pictures.
I have a feeling we're never going to touch.
Okay.
I think they're on their way out.
Okay. Do you think it's their time is over?
I think individuals, either exterior or internally, will break that down.
Okay. What do you think of the current tag team champions? I mean, of Michael Richard Blaze and Brandon Van Danielson.
Brandon Van Danielson, I would consider to be a good friend. We have similar interests, and you know, I think certain individual holds him down a little bit, to be honest.
I take it you're not a fan of Michael Richard Blaze.
We got unfinished business.
Mm-hmm. You guys did have quite the feud going a year or so ago.
A year or so, that thing's continued.
It just never dies in your heart.
It never dies.
Well,
the man I once considered to be a brother, and you know, there's nothing left of that relationship.
You know, you do seem like a very angry fellow, Colton, when I see you wrestle. Is there much that you ever let go?
Nah, man, I'm kind of a grudgeful person.
A lot of people could point to you injuring your father in an event.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues there.
Thanksgiving must really suck at that house.
Thanksgiving's always sucked at that house.
Fair enough. Now, you know what? I know that you're a fan of not just wrestling in Alberta, but
you are a real piece of work.
How do you figure?
You forgot a one fundamental part of this tag division.
Oh, and what would that be?
Alexander Prime and Sean Moore.
You know what? They are such a new and exciting team. You are right. They are, wow, fans who've not seen these guys. I mean, on their own, they were pretty incredible, but together, they're a machine, and they're like a team that I could see you guys going up against in the new future. What do you think of these guys?
You clearly didn't see our matches in the past, have you?
I have not.
Well, you know, I think they print money.
They definitely are on a very big high, and you know, just recently they had a shot against the tag team champions, and it was probably the match of the night. A lot of people were saying it was early candidate for match of the year. So,
sure, I guess so.
Now, you guys eventually will have to meet up again. What do you see in a team like this?
I see a very strong technician who is deceptively powerful.
And that would be Sean Moore?
A very charismatic, pretty man who is also very dangerous.
I can actually see the picture you're drawing here, and I can put names to these descriptions. So when you guys meet again, and I think you will down the road, who's going to come out of that feud on top?
That's a stupid question. I'm never going to say anyone other than me.
That is true. But I just was wondering how close you thought these guys could get to actually defeating you guys.
Oh, you know, I see no real loss and defeat.
Mm-hmm. Just the fans There's winning.
Not... Pardon?
Just the fans winning.
No, it's not the fans.
No?
It's not about momentary action.
Then what is it about?
It's always about a larger plan, my friend.
You know, I'm starting to see a big picture that you're painting, and I'm not sure what all the pieces are, but hopefully as this conversation goes on, we're going to understand a bit more of the mind of Colton Kelly.
Well, you know, there's a lot of layers.
Well, you know what? I'm going to switch gears now. And, you know, we talked. I sent out, information out asking wrestlers their interests in all the major companies here in Alberta. And you talked a lot about independent wrestling across North America, across Japan, across Europe. Tell me a bit about some of the wrestlers that you enjoy seeing. Like, who would you love to someday get into the ring with? And who do you think is phenomenal talent out there that we may not know or have got a chance to see here in North America or in Alberta?
There's so many people that jump to my mind. Like, Will Ferrara in Ring of Honor is someone who I think is a very proficient person.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Lee, I think, is a interesting parallel for me.
And where, Trevor Lee, now where would, obviously Will Ferrara can be found in ROH, where can we find Trevor Lee?
TNA, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, literally all over the place.
Okay, so he's a mainstay, and I've heard his name. I just want fans who may not have heard about him, just have a bit of a starting point to look up some of these guys.
Yeah, you should really, it's definitely seek out Trevor Lee. He's a very interesting human being.
Okay.
Leo Rush.
Okay, yes, I think he recently came through Alberta with another company.
Yeah, you know, sure.
An amazing young talent, very young man to be able to wrestle the way he does.
Well, he's been wrestling one full calendar year at this point and is a mainstay in the independents at this point, a top player in a lot of places.
Yeah, I mean, in less than a year, he's already gotten a title shot against the ROH World Champion, who's one of the most incredible wrestlers on the indie circuits right now.
Indeed. I'm mostly thinking guys of my age generation at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Will Ospreay.
Now, you know, tell me about Will Ospreay.
I don't feel like... I don't feel like me and him. I don't see like a huge amount of his work because I get sometimes Japanese and European wrestling is a little harder to come by.
Very true. Very true.
He's someone who I think is very talented and has a lot of future in this business, but I don't see me and him having all that proficient matches.
Okay.
I just think we wrestle completely different styles and work in different ways.
Mm-hmm. And it's ironic you said that because when, you know, I've heard the name Will Ospreay a lot, I can honestly confess that I have yet to see a match with him, yet I've seen his name plastered all over indie things continuously for the last 2 months.
His name's everywhere.
Yeah.
Like he's one of the most talked about people in the business right now, especially at this moment. But, It's harder to come across his work.
Mm-hmm. Now, you recently, you actually mentioned this, and I read about this last week or so. There was a match that he had with somebody that was off the charts. Was it with Ricochet?
Yeah.
Now, tell us a bit about what was so great about this match. Why is everyone in the wrestling community buzzing about this?
Well, it's a match that's caused a lot of dissension. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of splitting of opinions. It's a very high octane, fast paced match.
Mm-hmm.
With a fair amount of spots, as some people would like to call them.
Mm-hmm. Sort of like the Young Bucks sort of deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they're either it's a toss up, but those are the two best like high flyers and cruiserweights in the business.
Okay.
So you get a lot of people on one side talking about how great the match is,
mm-hmm.
and you get a lot of people on the other side talking about how stupid or non-professional in some ways, or spotty, or how it lacks psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's, this whole business is all about opinion, so...
Well, you know what? That's something we should maybe talk about right now. Like, I know what you mean, because I'll confess, there are many times I like watching the Young Bucks quite a bit. I find them exciting. I think it's kind of cool when people can be so proficient and so athletic at such a high pace. But I do see the fact of when I see them throwing, you know, 84 super kicks, it does take away, like, it really kind of... I don't know. I can see how some people criticize it, because then they're saying, well, all these moves really mean nothing because these guys keep jumping up after every move. And I get that, too.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Not to short-sight your show, but mm-hmm. who are most of the people listening? They're mostly local people and whatnot, right?
Right.
Am I wrong?
Yes, although we have a big fan base in England and Puerto Rico at the moment.
Well, that's very interesting. But... So for the people who have seen me wrestle and the mm-hmm. ones who haven't, there's stuff on YouTube and everything. What is my wrestling style, Thomas?
I would say you're a brawler with surprising amount of technical stuff throwing in when people least expect it.
All right, fair. So, in which generation would you put me in?
Yeah, you know, I think you would... I think you would have been, like, great in the early 70s to late 70s. I think.
All right. What is my actual generation of wrestling?
What is your current generation of wrestling? Sorry.
Yes.
I'm not sure what you're asking me here.
I'm a part of the millennial generation of wrestling.
Right. Okay.
And what style of wrestling do you see me fit best in?
Old school style.
And what is my wrestling name? My moniker, you would say?
You're definitely a student of the old school, for sure.
No, my actual moniker
is
Millennial Rebel.
Oh, sorry, your tag team name, yes. Okay. Oh, so I see. You're rebelling against the current style of today.
This whole thing lives in many, many, many layers.
Mm-hmm. Do you think I gave a fair assessment? Do you feel that, you know, in the late 70s, early 80s, perhaps, that, you know, before the cartoonish WWE stuff, do you think you would have been highly successful with your style in that era?
Yeah, I do.
Because I see that. I see, like, you know, I'm thinking back of, like, early Dynamite Kid, you know, I'm thinking back of Dan Crawford and the later guys of Stampede, you know?
Well, that's what I watch. That's what I learned.
Excellent, excellent. And it's funny because, you know what, it is very unfair. I mean, you have been a guy known to do a lot of outrageous things. You've known to have done some, let's face it, some dubious, some would say bordering on cruel things. But you can't be dismissed as simply a brawler or just some guy out there punching, because you do have a very solid background in wrestling that just flashes of it come out when people least expect it. And I think that's a great part of your arsenal that a lot of people don't take into consideration when they face you.
Well, it's all a part of the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like work as in like the sense of performing in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
It's another form of, you know, like deception in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You have these guys who throw, you know, all these super kicks, as we like mentioned or whatever. But really, when it comes down to it, what surprises do they have?
Mm-hmm.
And where do you see the surprises and the missteps and the things that would make you say, like, oh, I wasn't sure that he was capable of doing something like that.
Okay. So this...
You catch that on, like, a basis-to-basis thing with me.
Right. So the question I'm going to ask you, then, in today's current landscape of wrestling, is there room for many different styles and genres of matches on one card, or should people be sticking to, like, the same thing for each, you know, like, you go to PWA and it should be all this style of wrestling, and you go to Chikara and it's all this kind of fantasy style of wrestling. And is there room in the landscape for many, the whole spectrum of wrestling, or is that something we shouldn't really be looking at? What do you think about that?
Well, I definitely think that I think wrestling, in my opinion, wrestling is turning into a genre-based programming.
Mm-hmm.
But as a whole, you see, like, as professional wrestling, as we know it today, exists in many different platforms and different forms, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think in order to have a complete show, you should have every genre of wrestling.
So there should be comedy, there should be serious, there should be hardcore, there should be technical, there should be, like, the full gamut in a card.
Yeah, you should be able to see anything you want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think in some ways PWA does a really good job of.
And I'll have to agree, there is a full spectrum there. Let's then apply it to, say, like, what we were talking about, people like the Young Bucks, who some people are saying are destroying wrestling with their... Are they destroying wrestling, or are they just a part of a genre that's different? And how should the fans be digesting this?
I think they're genre wrestlers. Like, I take that back. I don't think they're genre wrestlers. You see them work hardcore matches in PWG. You see... Well, actually, they are genre wrestlers because they're tag team wrestlers, but that's a whole other
conversation. Okay.
The thing is that you get, I think PWG, for instance, doesn't get enough credit for being a well-rounded show.
Mm-hmm.
But if you really look at it, it's so with this whole Ricochet and Will Ospreay thing, you're getting a lot of comments being like, well, you know, it's too spotty and blah, 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 and this, that, the other thing. And my opinion is, if you don't like the genre you're watching, turn it off.
Okay. That's fair enough.
I want to go see a movie, or a movie comes on television, and it's Fast and the Furious, and my opinion is that I don't like watching mindless action movies. I don't like seeing little sprinkles of comedy. I don't like watching 2 hours of go, 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 right?
Right.
If I'm choosing a wrestling match and I don't want to see 20 minutes of go, 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 I'm not going to watch a Will Ospreay Ricochet match.
Right.
If I want to watch like a Seth Rogen movie or something, per se. Mm-hmm. Like a comedy, right?
Right.
If I want to watch a comedy, I'm going to put on Colt Cabana or Grado or, like, those guys.
Right.
If I want to watch a horror movie, I'm going to put on some death matches or, you know, in, like, a psychological thriller way, I'll watch, like, a Jake the Snake or an Undertaker match.
Okay. That makes sense. So...
But people see wrestling as one consistent thing still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're really moving away from that, but there needs to be an acceptance of that.
Okay. Now, here's a weird question that I'm throwing out here for you, and I'd like your kind of opinion on this. A lot of the appeal and a lot of what wrestling is based on is the athleticism and the idea of that it is a league that you're competing for, in the end, inevitably, for a title or a distinction of a team title. Where do put things like in Vegas, you know, that Sin Bodhi has these kind of freak show wrestling things. Do they fit into the genre of wrestling, or are they a part of that, or is that a whole different?
100% they're a part of that.
Okay.
You get a lot of these like bar show companies now too that like have characters specifically for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And how can you not tell me that's a genre?
Right. Is it an acceptable part of the genre as a whole?
Oh, 100% it is.
Okay. And then I asked...
Where this whole thing comes from is that there's... We still think of wrestling as what we used to watch in the 80s and 90s and what we grew up watching, right?
Right.
But we haven't put those same distinctions on movies or music or literature or, you know, like performance in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
You want to go see a movie? You can go watch whatever movie you want to watch. You want to watch independent film? You go watch independent film. You want to watch a blockbuster? You go watch a blockbuster, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we still judge our fans, and our fans still judge each other on purity of the sport, or you can't go see this outrageous thing, or you can't appreciate this thing because it's not true to what people, like, with no disrespect saying this, people who started it, who are still very much alive,
mm-hmm.
and who have distinct voices, because wrestling is such a nostalgic-based entertainment form.
Okay.
So when a guy like Vader or Undertaker or, like, no one said anything, but when these people like Pat Patterson or Ric Flair or Dusty Rhodes speak mm-hmm. or spoke, you take that to heart. There's a reverence to their words because that's what you saw.
Right.
And that's what you grew up on, and that's where the nostalgia lays.
Okay.
Where I think a company like Lucha Underground really pushes that that mind frame. Because mm-hmm. Lucha Underground isn't a wrestling company.
Not really.
It's a TV show.
Right.
Like, all the characters you see, for the most part, like, there are ones that do exist in the world of wrestling,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, all the characters you see are Lucha Underground TV characters.
Right. And despite the fact to fans who I have seen Lucha Underground and I enjoy it, there is such an element and fantasy thing going on, and yet there is also wrestling going on.
Yeah, I think it's,
I like it.
I like that wrestling's turning into a medium now.
Mm-hmm.
It is its own performance type, but it's no longer one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not just going in a ring and, like, kind of punching each other and throwing arm drags and a drop kick and a suplex for your finishing, like, to finish a match.
Right.
WWE, for, like, in the mainstream, developed a storytelling, and same with WCW and everything, and, like, a week-to-week storytelling.
And that is man's soap opera.
Like, yeah. With, like, a Lucha Underground, it's like, you can't jump in at week 365 in a show, because if you don't watch episode 1, you're not going to have a full understanding of what's going on in episode 40.
Right.
Because there's a history built, and it's not a history that's flexible or a history you can revise.
Right. Okay.
See, like, one of the weird things is that, like, WWE, as much as it is a wrestling show, it's a show about a company putting on a wrestling show.
Okay.
So you wouldn't necessarily see, like, in Lucha Underground, they do have a head position, right?
Mm-hmm.
But on an independent wrestling show, you're not going to see the promoter 90% of the time.
Right.
You're not going to see the people fully making the decisions of what matches are happening.
Mm-hmm.
People have developed a, like, commissioner character for shows and four companies and four show, like, independent companies and stuff,
mm-hmm.
but those aren't the real people making the decisions.
Right, usually they're just a figurehead or a former wrestler that their people can relate to.
Yeah, but in WWE, mm-hmm. you see the real people who everyone can, like, knows and considers as the real people behind the, like, mm-hmm. behind the whole thing, and they're out there telling people what the future of the company holds and what the future stories are going to be told. So, like, for example, on Monday with, like, the brand extension, right?
Right.
You see two figureheads who actually do have, or in this case, one person, because I don't know what Shane's involvement is.
I believe he's not. He doesn't have that.
Stephanie is the head of creative in real life. And they have decided to extend the brand, separate the rosters, this, that, the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But they've made it a part of the show to make that a part of the narrative. But that is a real decision that a company is creating and making to move their company in a new direction, but it's being presented within a television show.
And it's also important to note that while Stephanie McMahon is part of that whole decision, she herself is also playing a character, is she not? I mean, that's not really the Stephanie McMahon that we see out there.
No. But like, unless it's a documentary, you're not going to see Quentin Tarantino discussing how he made Reservoir Dogs during the film.
Right, right. I see what you mean. Well, then, can I ask you then a question like this, then? Are you familiar with the company Shikara?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. Now, they have a whole, also a very bizarre, different take on wrestling itself, too. And is that too far out of the realm of what wrestling should be, or is that also part of an interesting, different genre?
It's a whole other interesting genre in its own right. It's Treehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It's another channel on your television.
Okay. Now, here's a crazy, crazy question. Is there a room, would it even be possible or conceivable or even right to put all of those elements into one show? I mean, what if PWA had a Chikara match and it had a humor match, a straight-up wrestling match, a brawling match, a hardcore match? Is that something that's really not believable, or is that something that would be really cool? What do you think?
I think it has the potential to be really cool.
Now, this is, of course, have to do with the fans. Would the fans be able to accept that sort of thing?
That's my concern. Not saying that audiences are narrow-minded, but as a whole, not just wrestling fans, I'm talking fans in general. I think if you mix too many different things into one thing, it becomes too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And to some extent, I think wrestling fans have the hardest time with that.
Mm-hmm.
To ask any 20-year-old or any just any, like, Joe, working class man on the street, and be like, can you sit down and watch 15 minutes of a soap opera, then turn Dr. Phil on, then turn on, like, Tupi and Binu, and then sit down and watch Citizen Kane? Is the average person going to be capable of doing all those things and being able to switch those triggers in their mind?
Right. But
probably not.
But deep down inside, is that not possibly what everyone actually really wants? Is a question.
I think so, yeah. But I think that we might be a little more sheepish than that.
Okay.
I'm not saying that, like, we follow blindly, but it's too complex for our brains.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, on a psychology level, I think in a lot of ways our brains actually are programmed to protect ourselves.
Okay.
And so I think that, like, when it comes to that, it forces you to think a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of hibernate in the comfort of not thinking.
Okay. Well, you know what? One of the unique things about wrestling, and this is what I always tell people, why is wrestling unique? Why do I go to indie wrestling? What is it in, like, why? People are always asking that. Why do I want to watch a bunch of sweaty guys dressed in tights, dancing around, or whatever, you know, disparaging things they may say? And when I sit and think about it, I think of the many things that I appreciate. You know, there is, of course, the athleticism. There is the drama. There is, you know, but one of the things that always kept me and is, and, you know, this is, here we are talking, you know, really deep down stuff about wrestling here, is the fact that we know that if you're getting hit with a 2x4, you're not really getting hit by a 2x4. We know when you take
it. I don't agree with you.
Well, maybe if you're some deathmatch idiot. But what I'm saying is, when we see things and we see devastating moves, we know deep down inside that these wrestlers are protecting themselves, that they're trained to take this stuff. They're, you know, but a big part of the appeal to me in wrestling all my life is been able to suspend my disbelief, to say to myself, I'm going to go with opening during that match, I am just going to pretend that every single thing is at face value. And when and that has been the success of wrestling, I think, for many, many years, is people, yeah, you know that so-and-so isn't really going to be buried alive. You know so-and-so isn't really getting whatever. But the whole idea of being able to suspend your disbelief, to go in there, to cheer the good guy, bad guy, whatever. But here's the problem. If I'm conditioning myself, and as most wrestling fans do to that kind of thought, isn't it hard when you're setting that up to say, Colton Kelly and Michael Richard Blaze are in there, they hate each other, they're trying to kill each other. And I'm sitting there and I'm going, yes, I'm invested in that. But then I'm supposed to see the next match where Reed Matthews and, you know, someone else is having a juggling contest. And you know what I mean? Do you see how I say how that kind of works against itself when we're setting so much up for the disbelief part, but then throwing blatant disbelief into it? Doesn't that just upset the whole balance, though? And is that something we can actually ever look past?
I think you're thinking of it a little too broadly.
Mm-hmm.
I think the magic of all these things is that it's still fundamentally wrestling.
Right.
So if you threw like a legitimate magic performer in there,
mm-hmm.
A magician, some would call them, yeah, you do mess it up. But if you do throw a Colt Cabana in there after a 20, but it's okay, so another thing is, it's all in the planning of a show and how you tell stories just as a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
It's built so that every step of the way through the night, and matches also, I feel, should be built this way. It's a progression. So earlier in the night, you go and you see a matinee and you see a fun, stimulating match where it's very colorful and it's two guys, maybe not the serious competition, quote-unquote, you've ever seen, but it's still based in wrestling, right?
Right.
And then as the night progresses, you have maybe like a more traditional wrestling match, but it's a television match, right? From maybe say like the 70s or 80s or 90s, where it's 5 minutes of like a quick match with like a fun, charismatic babyface and a bad guy. And then as the night progresses, you get to kind of the more darker stuff, right?
Right.
And maybe somewhere in there, either you have a super competitive wrestling match or it's weird because then it kind of breaks down when it comes to main events and headliners.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think depending on what the stakes that you've created over months of storytelling depends on where that last person sits, right?
Right.
But yeah, you would have like your hardcore match or like your blood fest or however you want to do it. You would either put that, in my beliefs, you put that before an intermission.
Mm-hmm.
Intermission is always a good spot because you can either put something that is going to be messy for one or more reasons, And I feel like just as like any TV show or whatever, like when you go and you watch like Adult Swim or Cartoon Network or something,
right,
and Robot Chicken comes on,
mm-hmm,
you see a disclaimer. I feel that you should 100% be able to do that at a wrestling show.
Okay.
I agree with quote-unquote family-friendly programming,
mm-hmm,
an all-ages show, per se.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you should be able to give the audience a choice to take an extra 15 minutes out of their night,
mm-hmm,
and go spend some time outside if they're not comfortable watching something that's a little more violent.
Okay, that's fair enough. Do you...
I feel like that's lacking on a lot of shows.
Okay.
PWA, because that's where I spend the most time,
mm-hmm,
I think there definitely is a growing fan base that would be ecstatic to see a more violent performance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if it was... I'm not saying this is a month-to-month thing, but if you do every now and again give a point to be like, okay, so for example, a grudge match moment, right? So you have two guys, like a me and Michael Richard Blaze, per se, who have this feud, and it gets to the point where naturally the feud's built so that, like, the two people literally want to kill each other, right?
Right.
Before intermission, you have our announcer come out and say, all right, hypothetically speaking, this is an unsanctioned match. PWA does not condone the potential acts of the two performers who are about to step in the ring. We do not advise that you watch this. And if you so choose, you can stay and partake in the match visually. But for anyone who is ultra sensitive, for children whose parents feel like it's not something they should be
exposed to,
seen, like exposed to, you may step out. It is now intermission.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And then the two performers can go out, take 15 minutes and kill each other, swear, go through tables, bleed, maybe accidentally, you know,
mm-hmm,
do whatever. And then at the end of that 40-minute long intermission that usually happens, except now it's 20 minutes or 25 minutes because two performers have now taken up half that intermission.
Right.
Everyone files back in and continues the show.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting concept.
You're just momentarily switching channels.
Yeah. Wow. That is really interesting.
I don't see why that shouldn't exist.
Yeah. That is really something. I hope somebody, promoters, are listening to this. That's a pretty unique idea. And I think you're right. There is a fan base of fans in every company that would probably like to see something like that. And yes, there would be children that won't want to see it, but that's why you do it at this time.
Exactly.
Now, I'm going to ask you one last question before we wrap it up today. And I want to get your views on this. We've been talking about cards, and we've been talking about different styles of wrestling and where they could fit in that. My question is this, and as a young performer, I would like your views and what your thoughts on this. And that is, first of all, the first part of the question, is the main event on a card the climax and the most important highlight of the night? Is it, or should it be?
I think it should be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it is anymore, though.
Okay. Now, the reason I brought this up, as a young competitor, you've only been wrestling a couple years yourself, and you're not a consistent main eventer yet, but when you're not in the main event, there are some wrestlers who have this attitude of, I'm going to go out and steal the whole show. Is that a good idea, or is that something that you think is like, you know, maybe you should be working your way up to? Or how do you feel about that kind of thinking, that the, you know, you're below, you're not in the main event, but you decide you're going to do the most outrageous stuff to steal the crowd and make them talk only about you? Or do you go along and work it up to the main event?
I think everyone should be striving to have the best match of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I think over time, a main event has become less important.
Mm-hmm.
Because traditionally speaking, the main event was the two heavyweight wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that as much as heavyweight wrestling is entertaining, or has the potential to be entertaining, that's not where fans are looking anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think main event storylines have a track record of maybe being more pushed in your face or less spontaneous.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates a lack of excitement. I think part of the joys of wrestling is the climb and the process.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing the guys who are working first match or the match before intermission are, it's more interesting to see that than it is to see the guys who have already made it in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a stigma about a main event in a lot of local wrestling specifically, because I don't think the entirety of the indies really have this. But in local wrestling, it tends to be the guys who have been around the longest are in the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds a...
like too much of a comfort?
Maybe some comfort, but a disinterest.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, it's too comfortable. Like, you're not really that interested in as much. The excitement's kind of gone.
I've seen this guy, and I've seen him do this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not... It may not be as exciting.
We're talking like seeing Randy Orton and John Cena for like the 800th time on a main event.
Exactly. And then you get like, I think main events in WWE have been interesting because as much as people don't like Roman Reigns, people really do like AJ Styles.
Right. Even after this weekend. Even after what he did this weekend, he's still going to get cheered.
Oh, yeah. But now it's against... the biggest Roman Reigns.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now AJ Styles is wrestling Hulk Hogan. Who would think that was going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Me, as a performer, I like first match.
Setting the pace for the card.
I love first match, because that crowd is mine. No one has touched them. Not a single person other than the ring announcer touches them.
Mm-hmm.
Before I step out into the ring.
And you certainly found a way to interact with the fans quite a bit, I've noticed.
Well, yeah. I gotta get them pissed.
Well, you certainly do a great job at that.
But, like... Alright, so let's just say it. I don't know... In the shows you've been to...
Mm-hmm.
Who are guys you get excited by when you see them first on a show?
Well, I've seen you guys come out quite a bit as the first in the last couple times at PWA.
And does that get you a little more sparked for that first match?
It does really get the crowd going, because you guys do awake the crowd. You have such a polarizing effect that it wakes up the people who'd sit on their hands, for sure. And I see what you mean.
And that's a powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think traditionally the best wrestlers either get the first match or the last match.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a respect that comes from working the first match. There's a real respect for the guys who can get a crowd really hot and make sure that you've set a standard that keeps the crowd hot.
Mm-hmm.
the performers who go out in the second and the third match, if they can't keep the crowd at the level that the people in the first match have provided them, they're doing themselves and the audience a disservice.
Mm-hmm. So you set the pace for the success of the card.
Yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you know what, fans? We've just spent 50 minutes talking with Colton Kelly, a guy who I'm pretty sure if you went up and asked for his autograph, he'd probably punch you. But we got some fascinating stuff. I got to say, Colton, I've come out of here today looking at you with a whole different kind of respect. I'm going to say that right now. I was very fascinated about a lot of the things you talked about. You touched on some really interesting points. And I'm going to have to say that when it comes to genre wrestling, I agree wholeheartedly on a lot of stuff. I mean, there's only one thing that I, in my opinion, I just do not like in wrestling, and I wish it wasn't in there, and that's the death matches, the real hardcore ones with guys and stapling crap to themselves and whatever. For me, that's just garbage, but the rest, I agree. I totally agree. So I want to thank you for taking the time to talk with us today. And we look forward to seeing much more success with you and the Millennial Rebels. And is there any last thing you want to throw to the fans tonight?
Yeah, one last question. Do you watch snuff films?
No, I don't.
Then don't watch death matches.
Fair point, fair point. But in the same fact, snuff films are illegal, and I kind of think that maybe death matches should be too.
What? It's two consenting adults.
I think, you know what, this is a whole discussion for another day, but I just think that when you open a box of, there's just some things you can't take back and some things that you see that you cannot be unseen. And there are some things that I don't think belong in society and should be seen. And I'm afraid smashing people in the face with light tubes and hammers and staple guns is crap that nobody needs to see and nobody should see. But we'll agree to disagree on this. But thank you very much, Colton, and we look forward to seeing you in the PWA ring soon.
All right.
This has been Wrestling Now with the legend T. James Logan,
here on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
For more information on Wrestling Now, as well as all the other programming on the network, please check out the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network on iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, WordPress, or EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.